Breaking news, former Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein grilled on Capitol Hill.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Have you looked at the Horowitz report?
Yes, I have. I have it with me, Senator.
If you knew then what you know now, would you have signed the warrant application?
No, I would not.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
In light of all the Brady material that has finally been released, it's clear you were misleading me, Congress, and the American people when you suggested that we should be satisfied with Flynn's plea agreement.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So, folks, I think a remarkable hearing today on Capitol Hill with Rod Rosenstein. He's now the former Deputy Attorney General. But remember, for the purposes of appointing Bob Mueller and the Russia investigation, he was the acting Attorney General. He was the buck stops with him when it came to the Department of Justice decisions and the decisions of the FBI, by the way. And he is playing a game on Capitol Hill where basically he is admitting, and I kind of predicted this. I remember talking to our producer Will this morning, even before, that he would basically say he didn't actually read anything. And that if you actually listen closely, that's what he's saying. He didn't really pay attention. It was the most high-profile case, but they have other cases. Of course they did, but none involving, as you heard Senator Hawley just say in the committee, Dad, that none involving the President of the United States being accused of being a Russian asset.
No, and Rod Rosenstein just said, first of all, two really big takeaways here. One is, if he knew what he knew, what he knows now, the information he has now, if he knew it then, he would have never signed the FISA warrant. You know what that tells me? That tells me nobody was paying attention, including Rod Rosenstein, to what was going on. That's number one. Number two, and then when he reviewed the FISA, he hesitated. He said, well, I don't know if I'd say I read every word of it or word for word. You were issuing a FISA on an individual who was associated with the campaign of the President of the United States. And you didn't have time to read the file. You didn't have time to review the entire FISA warrant. But the information he has now, if he would have had it then, he would have never done it. The question is, why did they not have it then? Because they were too busy chasing a bogus fraud on the American people called the Mueller report, and it was self-justification. That's all this was at the end of the day.
We also knew, I mean, he's admitted under oath now, testified under oath, that he was actually specially briefed on this specific FISA. We know that these FISAs failed in the past, now that we know that. We also have this. So he knew this was coming. He even said in his testimony, let me go to Andy here. Andy, he said in his testimony that he knew this FISA was coming. He was briefed on it. That was unique. Usually he would not. Usually he was the final kind of stop, and it would go through all the verifications before. But in this one, he was uniquely responsible personally. And I think Senator Hawley's right. He just testified that he believes Rod Rosenstein should be held accountable for everything Bob Mueller did and everything, all the wrongdoing the FBI.
Well, I think he should. He said he goes through about 70,000 FISA warrants in the department. But this one he paid special attention to, he said, because it was such a high profile. He obviously did not pay special attention to it, or he would have looked behind the words of the agents who prepared the document and put it before him much more deeply and much more thoroughly than he did. So when someone has to be accountable for the issuance of the warrant before the court, so that the court could ultimately make the warrant outstanding, you got to say that it's Rod Rosenstein who bears the ultimate responsibility here.
Let's
you know, I'm going to say something about that really quickly, and we're going to play the Rod Rosenstein.
Yeah, we can play it. We come back.
Right. Yeah. But I got to say something, because I agree with what Jordan, with what you said and what Andy said. I mean, this guy was the acting Attorney General of the United States for the
He's
purposes of this investigation.
About not reading things.
Yeah. Not having the can't say I read every word. You signed an affidavit submitted to a court and you didn't read every word, and you unleashed on the American people. You appointed Bob Mueller. You unleashed on the American people a 3-year investigation. Shame on you, Rod Rosenstein.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll take your phone calls, your questions, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We'll take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want you to listen to this question. And again, this hearing's been going on since it was 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. Eastern time. And so it's been going on. We're getting through the senators now. I want you to listen to Senator Lindsey Graham. He's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. With this question about Rosenstein relying on Andrew McCabe's information provided to him. Take a listen, Byte 21.
How much did you rely on Mr. Cabe's statements to sign the warrant? How much did that factor into whether or not you thought the warrant application was accurate?
With regard to the warrant application, Senator, I wouldn't say that I relied on Mr. McCabe's statements. I certainly had the understanding of what Mr. McCabe had told me, but the document stands for itself. It's 100 pages,
right?
And I relied on what I understood to be in the application.
I mean, that again, they're hedging things. He got a summary from somebody in his staff. He won't name those folks, but if he doesn't, I think, you know, this is someone, again, he's tried to have it both ways with a lot of these committees. He's tried to, hope that this doesn't come back on him, but it's certainly the buck stops with him.
Well, look, he was the person in charge. I mean, he could say he wasn't, but he was. And this idea that he was, was I really looking at the stuff and I had a lot of other responsibilities? Did you have any other responsibilities that were a higher priority than an investigation of the sitting president of the United States? I don't think you did. So what do we have? That's what you have to look at here. Rod unleashed this investigation. He allowed Mueller to continue to expand it. And they knew so early on that the information they had was a fraud. That's what's so the irony of all of this is they knew within months they had nothing. It's just like in General Flynn's case, Andy, they knew they had nothing. And then on this one, we know from doing it for 3 years, they knew right from the beginning they had nothing.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. And they knew they had nothing. And once they knew they had nothing and that the warrant that was issued by the FISA court was based on fraudulent and false information, that investigation should have ceased. Instead, the president and the nation was put through years, literally, of terror and horror in trying to really follow a ghost and to pursue a hoax. and to try to exonerate a person who had no responsibility for any so-called collusion with Russia, and that is the president or any members of his staff. When you see something going 100 miles an hour and it's wrong, I don't care what it takes, you put on the brakes to avoid the collision. Rosenstein ultimately faced the responsibility for it. He didn't do it. I say the buck stops with him. He was the acting AG.
I would like to ask Rod Rosenstein, if I was not candid with the FBI during investigation, would I be held to lie to the FBI? I think so. I think so. Under most basic things, if anybody out there, if you were not candid with the questions. But you know what he's going to say, Dad, back to that? He tried to say it today, too, as well. Well, he didn't ask direct enough questions. This was a guy who should, again, he tried to put in that email, oh, sometimes history chooses us. He failed history. These are people that literally, they act like they're so tough and they made tough decisions. They are, again, they try to make a lot of people happy. They ask no one tough. And, you know, saying McCabe didn't lie, but he wasn't candid, that doesn't even make sense. That's not even lawyer talk.
Not candid means you did not tell the truth.
Dishonesty.
So when you're not candid, you were not fulsome. You were not giving a full response. You did not tell the truth. So this is what we now have to ask ourselves. And I'd like Than's comment on this because I think what you said is right, Jordan. This is the beginning, and now we're going to see 53 subpoenas being issued like any day now, Than. Where is this going?
Yeah, well, that's the exact reason, Jay, that they started with the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, because of the conversation that you just had. I mean, a lot of people might gloss over the fact that there's a direct admission here of so much that was already uncovered. But, Jay, it's an admission from the man that was in charge of all of this process for so many of those early days. And where's it going, Jay? This is, I think, an example of what the committee is after. It's an example of what I thought we might get. And officials who were involved here trying to come forward and salvage a small bit of their personal reputation. Now, I don't think Mr. Rosenstein has done that. If you take sort of the trifecta that he's admitted to here, he's acknowledged that the foundations of the investigation did not warrant the investigation. He's admitted that there was no predicate whatsoever. And he stated that officials like Andrew McCabe were neither neutral or forthcoming in their work. Jake, tomorrow the committee is going to issue the rest of these 52 subpoenas to the other officials they want to talk to. By the way, I think Rod Rosenstein probably still has a subpoena coming his way. I don't think he's dodged that today by the testimony he's given. But look, there are other officials who are going to come forward. I say again, FBI agent Joseph Pienka, just like Rosenstein acknowledged McCabe's role today. What will that agent say about Peter Strzok and James Comey? Jay, we've got a long way to go inside this committee. There are more dominoes to fall here.
No doubt about that. Jordan, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think a lot of these senators, too, especially Democrats, you know, it's an election year. They don't want people talking about this. They don't. They don't want to focus. And it's not so much just on Rod Rosenstein today. And I'll play this for you, because this exchange with Lindsey Graham is important. It's the 53 potential subpoenas that are coming. Those are the people, as Than said, you know who doesn't worry about throwing other political appointees under the bus or people confirmed or former acting directors of the FBI who they recommend, by the way, to all fire each other. But they didn't do anything actually legally wrong. Just they violated all the principles of the FBI or Department of Justice. They altered evidence. But these career folks, Than, just quickly, Than, in Washington, D.C., they're not going to have a problem throwing Rod Rosenstein, Jim Comey. They're not trying to figure all that out in their head. They're going to be pretty honest because this is their life. This is their livelihood. They're not playing politics.
Well, especially since it's already come down the ladder, Jordan. I mean, what did Rod Rosenstein do today? He threw Andrew McCabe under the bus, and probably for good reason. But if you're one of these field agents, Jordan, doing the right thing, and maybe you weren't one of the people involved in putting together that January 4th memo that closed Crossfire Razor just for the next day for a meeting in the Oval Office to eventually result in the reopening and the continuing the investigation into General Flynn. Jordan, if you're one of those agents who did the right thing, don't you want the world to know that so your reputation is not tarnished by everything that happened here? I would think so. I would think that testimony is going to be forthcoming.
I always thought Rod Rosenstein was dead. I mean, I get your comments on this before we play the bite with Senator Graham, because this was a guy who recommended Jim Comey be fired and then tried to pull that back too when he came under any questioning. Oh, I wasn't actually firing. I just said he did everything wrong and he's bad.
Look, the idea that Jim
Comey...
He's
always trying to have things both ways, right?
Well, it still is.
Yeah.
I mean, look at his testimony. Listen to what he's saying. I think that's the problem with it. I mean, but what's happening, and this is good, is we're getting to the bottom line. We're starting to get real answers as to what was actually going on here. And what was going on was a disservice to the American people. I said it earlier, I will say it again. The fraud that took place here was the fraud taken on the American people and the waste of almost $40 million and 3 years of a lot of people's time, including mine, yours, and Andy's.
All right, folks, I want to play this for you. This is Senator Lindsey Graham. This is the key question. I mean, this happened right at the beginning of the hearing. Take a listen.
Do you think McCabe knew that?
I hope not, Senator. I do not personally know.
Was he in charge of the investigation?
Yes, he was.
Did he ever lie to you?
Mr. McCabe, I don't believe, Senator, that there are any occasions in which I identify that he lied to me.
Okay. Did he ever say anything, looking back, that is perplexing to you?
That's a very broad question, Senator. I had a lot of conversations.
Do you think he was truthful to you?
I believed, Senator, that Mr. McCabe was not fully candid with me. He certainly wasn't forthcoming.
So there, Andy, I see it right there. I mean, this is a pretty big admission right there, a huge admission by the acting attorney general in charge of this. So this was the only job he had as acting attorney general. He was deputy attorney general. That's a big job. I get that. But he only had one job as acting attorney general, getting this right.
Overseeing this investigation
and
getting it right.
And he wasn't reading anything.
No, and when he says he lacked candor, why don't we stop using that expression? I am so sick of the expression. He lacked candor. He was not fully forthcoming. Let's call it what it is. He lied. He didn't tell me the whole truth. He failed to disclose a material fact to me, and that's all I had to do was oversee the Mueller investigation, and McCabe and the others lied to me, and I didn't do my responsibility by going behind that application, and therefore we, the Department of Justice, lied to the FISA court. Let's just call it what it is and stop using these silly expressions like lack of candor. That's a plain old lie.
I was going to say, what is the legal definition? This is what you need to find out. What's the legal definition of lack of candor? And I'm going to look it up during the break. And I think lack of candor means you didn't tell the truth.
Dishonesty
you were not
is one
candid.
Of the terms. You know, it's like candor means dishonest. A lack of candor. This idea of specifically that he was, as he specifically said, not fully candid, not forthcoming. Okay, if you knew that based now on what you know, and you felt that then, or why didn't you ask direct questions? I want to put this in context. Rod Rosenstein was acting attorney general only for this reason. The guy also said he's been reported to say he would wear a wire. So I think those questions are coming too. I mean, there's a lot to ask him, remember. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to start taking your calls when we come back from this break. We'll get more of your thoughts. We'll play more from the hearing as well. 1-800-684-3110. I encourage you also stay up to speed on everything at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. But when we come back, we'll start taking your phone calls. We've got a couple ready, a couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success, But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Senate Judiciary Committee is Rod Rosenstein today. This is, by the way, I know it will upset many of the Democrats on that committee who, by the way, would love talking about this if it was when it was before the Mueller report came out. But now that that's been out, now that we've learned all of it. By the way, someone should ask too, Rod Rosenstein, how do you feel about the fact that because of your inactions and inability to run the Department of Justice, which, by the way, should be on your record forever, so you're not confirmed again, 96-4, or recommended by anybody from any side of the political aisle. But also, the fact that there's no FISA now because of you. I mean, Dad, that's another direct question. You have single-handedly, as the highest-ranking person involved in this, because the Attorney General at the time recused himself, are the person responsible for there being no FISA court anymore.
Well, that's right, because of what was the fraud that was committed on the FISA courts. You know, we saw in the clip that we just played for our television audience, and if you've been listening to us, we played the clip before about this pause after Senator Graham asks Rosenstein, did he ever lie to you, talking about Andrew McCabe? Pause. Big pause. Yep. He wasn't candid. David Gomez is a former FBI agent and a senior fellow at George Washington University Center for Cyber and Homeland Security. He was asked the question in an article that ran in The Atlantic as to what does the actual term lack of candor mean under FBI protocols. And Andrew, you're going to find this interesting. Lack of candor is untruthfulness or an attempt to dissemble from the point of view of the investigator. That's what it means.
Well, that's exactly what happened here. If you want to use the formal term, it's lack of truthfulness and not telling the entire truth, and that means failure to disclose material facts. But I'm a simple-minded person, and the way I look at it is that it is lying. It is just plain out lying and not telling the entire truthfulness to the party that you are communicating with. And Rosenstein accepted those lies that were given to him and carried them on and propounded them to the FISA court to the detriment of the Trump administration, because it perpetuated an investigation that was indeed what the president called it, Jay, all that time, a witch hunt. Yep. We were looking after phantoms that didn't exist and that were created really at the core by the Obama Justice Department and perpetuated under Rod Rosenstein as acting AG over this investigation. That's what happened here.
You know, Jordan, I was going to ask you this, and then I also would like to get Fan to comment on this, because I think this is important. And that is, here we are now, what, 5 months out from the election, and all of this is about to come out. How does this play out? I mean, are the American people sick of dealing with this? Or is now that the irregularities are being fully exposed, does this say to the American people, hey, wait a minute, there really was a fraud committed on the American people here?
No, I think this is the time for the Senate to ask the questions. I mean, we act like, and these Democrat senators, they're so full of themselves, right? And so they're there sitting in this committee hearing, and they're saying, oh, I can't believe we're not doing this and that. And by the way, they have a criminal justice reform hearing in 3 weeks. So that's pretty fast, the way the committee plans out its schedule so that these senators can even get there, which is more difficult during COVID and all those issues and the giant hearing room that they're in, no public in attendance. I mean, a lot of things. So I think, remember, most of the work of the Senate, though, isn't high profile enough to even be on C-SPAN. Like only certain things make it to C-SPAN, not less Fox News covering it live. So, and us talking about it. So for the most part, they can do their work on many different issues. They have huge staffs. In fact, Dick Durbin clearly was just reading his staff's talking points because he acted like he was reading from the Mueller report and then it wasn't there twice. So bad staff, probably doesn't have the same staff around him that he would usually have, but in Washington, D.C. He had no one behind him ready to pass him a note to correct him or figure out what was wrong. Take a listen to this. This is the number three ranking Democrat in the United States Senate.
Do you agree the Trump campaign knew about, welcomed, and expected to benefit electorally from Russia's interference, as Mr. Mueller found in his report?
What page are you referring to, Senator?
I'm happy to tell you. It's page, volume one, pages one and two.
I'm not sure whether you were quoting from the report, Senator, but I have it in front of me.
Statement within the report, volume one, pages one and two.
Yes, sir. I have it right here.
Trump campaign knew about, welcomed, and expected to benefit electorally from Russia's interference. Do you disagree with that? Have any reason to disagree with that finding?
I apologize, Senator. I'm not seeing those words in the report. If you could direct me to where it is in the report, I'll be happy to.
I will. I don't have it at the moment in front of me, but I will produce it.
There you go.
I got to tell you something. This is like Bob Mueller's testimony revisited.
Yes.
You know, we live this in a way that only a handful of lawyers could say they lived it. And three of those lawyers you're talking to right now, if you're talking to us or watching us on radio or on television, we live this. Dick Durbin just quoted something that, guess what, was not on page one and two of the report. But you know what was on page one and two of the report? They could not make a case that there was collusion or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians. That is what actually was in the report on pages, I think, one and two. But Dick Durbin just quoted something, and it wasn't even in the report. And, Than, how much worse does this get when you've got 53 witnesses?
Probably a lot worse, although it's sort of hard to get any worse than the man that was in charge at the time admitting today in an open session that he knew this information when he authorized going forward with it, Jay. And, you know, the other color that I would put on it, there's been a lot of conversation about Rod Rosenstein saying Andrew McCabe wasn't candid about it. Well, our listeners need to remember what he wasn't candid about, because those transcripts that Adam Schiff just released a couple of weeks ago, finally, this is what Andrew McCabe said in 2017 under oath to the House Intel Committee. He said, there is a lot of information in the Steele reporting. We have not, I repeat, we have not been able to prove the accuracy of all of that information. Jay, that's what Andy McCabe lied about to Rod Rosenstein, and that's what Rod Rosenstein lied about to get that application forwarded. And Jay, just to very briefly answer your question about how does this play politically, well, Joe Biden was in the room on that January 5th meeting with President Obama. I think it plays in pretty significantly.
Yeah, I do too. Andy, let me quickly, I know we got to go to a break, Jordan, here, but let me ask Andy this quickly. We're going to play, when we come back, another bite in the second half hour from Dick Durbin about something else that was not in the report that he says is in the report. They are playing a very dangerous game with the American people watching, and now about to be fully exposed.
Well, that's true, Jay. Dick Durbin, who is the least among the least of the credible senators, in my opinion, and along with White House and Klobuchar this morning, whose testimony I was watching, you know, have put themselves in a position of making quotations out of reports that don't exist. Don't think that we don't have the ability to pull that report and read it, because we certainly do. And that's exactly what happened here. He was caught essentially with his pants down, and as Jordan said, he didn't have a staff member to pass him a note and correct him. And like with Feinstein, when she was asked a question once, I recall, and she said something that was wrong, and her staff member immediately pressed her a note, and she changed what she had said 100%. That's what happened with Durbin. He was caught here unawares and unprepared.
Yeah, usually they have three or four staff. I think they're down to maybe one right now. I don't know how they're communicating. But Dick Durbin, literally, for the prep of this, would have had one of the biggest staffs in the entire U.S. Senate. We're talking, I don't know, he could probably have 100 plus people working for, at least, because he's got both his leadership staff and his staff in the U.S. Senate office as a U.S. senator from Illinois. He has double the amount of staff as other senators, and they can't get it even, they're not even getting the quotes right or who's attributed to. We'll be right back. Second half hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Have you looked at the Horowitz report?
Yes, I have. I have it with me, Senator.
If you knew then what you know now, would you have signed the warrant application?
No, I would not.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
I mean, if he would have not signed the warrant application, maybe asked a few more questions before signing warrant applications on people accused of... Literally, the president was being accused of being a Russian agent. Let's not forget that. That's what they were trying to get to. They didn't care about Carter Page. They don't care. One reason FISA also doesn't exist is because they had no... Didn't that also raise suspicion, the fact that you were looking at a FISA on an American who, again, was involved in a very attenuated way with as a volunteer for a campaign, which, as we've said, and those of us who worked on campaigns and actually worked on the campaigns and been advisors to the actual candidates for President of the United States can tell you, that there's a lot of volunteers on campaigns, and they can go to, you know, a photo op or a photo line. That does not make them advisors to. And Dianne Feinstein knows that. Amy Klobuchar knows that. They've been politicians as well. They don't even, I would love to, can they go name everybody at their phone bank? They can name everybody on their advisory committee off the top of their head. I would love to see if they could do that. But again, Rod Rosenstein should have looked into how close is this guy actually to Donald Trump in the first place? Okay, we could have found out very early on, Andy, that he had never actually been in a real meeting with the man.
That's right. He was a minor operative. But as someone said, the real target here was Donald Trump.
Yep.
And so when you are targeting a figure of that magnitude and and holding that position, you do more than simply scan the document and, as he said, review it. You make inquiry in detail with respect to the contentions that are made in the affidavit in support of the application for a warrant to spy. That's it. And Rosenstein failed in that. And somebody, as Senator Cruz, really pursued him in great detail. Who is accountable here?
Yeah.
And he wouldn't really admit that ultimately it was him. He really wouldn't say that. He said, I admit, that he wouldn't have signed the warrant, but accountability for what was in the warrant, he really never would take that on himself.
No, I want to go to Jerry in Rhode Island online, too. And you know, for most warrants, I would say maybe the last guy in charge, he's got to be able to rely on staff at some point. Okay. But when it came to this one, he got a special appointment as acting attorney general in charge of investigation of the president of the United States for something that you could go not just jail for, but be impeached. I mean, there's so many things and serious issues facing a whole host of main actors, but including the leader of the free world. So it involves that, and he doesn't ask questions maybe differently. He treats it the same, but he appointed the guy, a special counsel. He knew it was special to begin with. Take a list. Let's go to the phones. Jerry in Rhode Island, line two. Jerry, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hello, team. Good questions. Apologies from Rhode Island for the Democratic senator on Rhode Island who said questions. Two, we just saw the elimination of adjunct professor of evidence for Mr. Durbin. And three, most of the listeners are probably saying, if we see the admitted malfeasance, nonfeasance of Rosenstein in front of everybody, what are the personal ramifications of him other than I hope his clearance is pulled?
Well, that he ran out the door pretty quick. He did try to run out in the middle of all this. He left, you know, at the very end.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I mean, Rod's gone, so there's no – the Department of Justice can't take any adverse action. He's no longer an employee. I don't think that what I'm hearing, anything rose to the level of criminality. But we do have a lawyer that's been appointed, a U.S. attorney, John Durham, who is reviewing this thing from top to bottom. We have a separate U.S. attorney that's reviewing the Flynn matter from top to bottom. And that is where you're going to see accountability. We've said, hold on, be patient. Let's do it the right way. Let's make sure the legal process is followed and due process is given. But at the end of the day, justice will be served.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Good questions coming in. And again, we'll play more sound from the hearing. So sound that's already occurred in the Senate hearing again, I think it's going to be it's a big deal because there's about 53 more people who are going to testify about Rod Rosenstein, too. And I don't think they're going to be so protective in dancing around. Because Rod Rosenstein is dancing right now in Capitol Hill, trying to throw a few people that no one likes under the bus, but then try to have it both ways. Doesn't usually work out very well.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Here's Dick Durbin part two, by the way. And again, I just want to underscore, he has two staffs. He gets his staff for being the whip, which is probably 50 plus people or more. I don't know exactly. He probably has at least 100 plus people that their only job is to advise Dick Durbin. So whoever's general counsel is probably should get fired today because he was reading talking points prepared, I guess, by his top attorney and his staff. But the what he was reading, he didn't actually have the Mueller report in front of him, but he was quoting from it. He was just missing some of the quotes. Also, some were summaries of different things that weren't actually there or said. Take a listen. This happened twice. We played the first one. Here's the second one.
Do you disagree with the Mueller report conclusion, the Trump campaign planned a press strategy, a communications campaign, and a messaging based on possible release of Clinton emails by WikiLeaks? Volume 1, page 54.
That says, according to Mr. Gates, that's attributed to Mr. Gates. I don't think that's a finding of Mueller, but it's what one of the witnesses said.
Do you have any reason to believe it's not true?
I have no information beyond the fact that the witness said it, Senator.
I mean, yeah, it's just
this was like I remember this with other witnesses who will remain nameless making allegations against people. And then they say, well, where's the backup information from that? Well, we don't have it. And then even Bob Mueller, to his credit, and I don't give him very much, at one of the hearings said, and I don't remember which of the particular witness said, no, that was not what we concluded. It may have been this. That is what the witness said.
Yes. That's
and there is, Andy, the difference between a legal conclusion and what a witness said that's uncooperated is really significant.
I can't believe that Durbin was so ill-prepared as to do that. He makes a statement, and then when he's asked to back it, when he asked Rosenstein to back it up, and Rosenstein asked for the page and the citation number, he's basically quoting as a finding by Mueller, a legal conclusion by Mueller, something that a witness merely said, and that was not Mueller's ultimate conclusion. You don't think that you? Where's your preparation? I would have some staff members on the carpet for that.
But back to the phone. Char is calling in from Indiana on line one. Char, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Can you imagine if A.G. Barr was up there today and they were questioning him? Anyway, I believe that Rod Rosenstein is sidestepping all these questions, and I agree with you that not only Andrew McCabe is lying, but he's lying. He acts like he's not responsible for anything. And he didn't have any problem, though. He didn't have any problem offering to wear a wire in to trap President Trump.
Well, he denies. I want to be fair here. He denies that. I mean, Rod said that he did not do that. It was some statement in jest. That's how he said it. The other thing is, let me tell you, don't forget that when it came to the conclusions, when all the report was assembled, and then it was up to the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, to review all the data that Mueller had produced, because Mueller couldn't come up with a legal conclusion on obstruction. Remember that? He couldn't, you know, we can't say it is, we can't say it isn't, we're not going to charge a crime that we can't prove. Rod Rosenstein exercised legal authority pursuant to the Department of Justice guidelines and made a conclusion with the Attorney General and career people that, in fact, there was no obstruction of justice engaged in by the President of the United States. So while we're being hard on Rod, and for good reasons when you see what he actually said, I also want to be fair, Andy, that the legal conclusion that the Department of Justice came up with was right. It was just ill-fated, wrong, and a fraud from the beginning.
Well, it was. It was indeed. Also the Flynn prosecution was ill-fated, ill-advised, mishandled from the very beginning. But so many of these have been mishandled from the beginning that the Senate is rightfully now looking into who is ultimately going to be bearing the responsibility for this miscreant deeds. And somebody's got to ultimately be responsible. In connection with the FISA warrant application, it's got to be Rod Rosenstein. He was acting Attorney General. I know that its genesis was in the Obama administration, and we really have to not forget that, folks. It's not just Rod Rosenstein. The genesis of these untruths that led to Rosenstein's unaccountable and improper action in approving the FISA warrant had its genesis, its birth, in a corrupt Justice Department, ultimately headed by and responsible to the then President of the United States, Barack Obama.
All right, let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got another segment coming up as well, so you can still have time to get your phone calls in for that segment. We get more into this segment, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us and air with your comments, your questions. Donna, calling from Minnesota on line three. Donna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, y'all. Say, I'm just wondering whether it would be plausible, would it be a plausible strategy now that Andrew McCabe has already been fired and he's lost his perks, his benefits, his retirement
pension.
Could they all lay this all in his lap, and would he have any criminal reliability on that?
I mean, Dad, Andrew McCabe has been thrown under the bus by Jim Comey. He's certainly, I mean, he's wrongdoing. Yeah. Yes, he was kind of the focus, but also Jim Comey had no problem throwing him under the bus too. For the leak to the New York Times about this matter. But Jim Comey as well. I mean, there's a few people that are actors in this that I don't think bureaucrats, I don't think people whose careers are based off this, that aren't political appointees, that are going to be willing to go to bat for them.
No, I think that's right. I think what happened is Andrew McCabe has lost his benefits, and I think he sued the government to try to get those benefits back. Whether that'll be successful or not, we'll see. But I don't think it will be. But you remember, there's another investigation going on here by John Durham. Now, it's another interesting aspect of this. I want to get Than's view on this. Is Andrew McCabe being called to testify as one of those 53 subpoenaed witnesses?
He's on the list, Jay. That's going to get a vote tomorrow in the committee. The subpoena will be issued. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how Andrew McCabe replies. Jay, he might want to respond to some of this, actually, but I would just quickly tell you, Rod Rosenstein.
Maybe not. Go ahead.
You're going to be tough to get your pension back if you don't respond, though. That's going to go. It's not going to, that's a civil case. You could use that as an inference if he took the fifth that the guy was covering up wrongdoing. He wouldn't be able to get his pension back.
Go ahead, man.
Pension might not be worth avoiding a prosecution, but I guess we'll see on that. But I would tell you this, Rod Rosenstein might try to blame Andy McCabe, but he was still the one that appointed a special counsel. While admitting today there was no predicate to do so, he was still the one that signed the FISA application when there was no predicate to do so. And by the way, the very first piece of sound that Chairman Graham played was Rod Rosenstein in May of 2018, after all of this, saying, oh, that's why we have someone sign off on this, to make sure that it's safeguarded. Well, guess what? It's his signature on the application. So which way is it?
It wasn't safeguarded. Now, Andy, let me ask you this. You've done this before, too. And we've had complex cases where you've got this with grand juries. When you have 53 witnesses that are going to become forced to testify, and obviously the Senate's not a grand jury, but you're trying to get to truth. I mean, that's the ultimate goal here is, can we get to truth? A scenario starts emerging as these witnesses testify separately. You start to be able to pinpoint where it's going. Explain to our audience how that process would work, especially in a situation where you might well have 53 witnesses.
Well, you have it's a large puzzle, really, and you're trying to put the pieces together, and you have 53 pieces of the puzzle, let's say. That may lead you to 53 more pieces of the puzzle because questions lead to other questions. And what we're trying to do, and what the Senate and Senator Graham, as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, is attempting to do, much to the chagrin of the Democrats who say that it's ridiculous to do it. Of course, they would say that. But what he's trying to do is to piece together the puzzle of several years of mismanagement within the Justice Department, lies, omissions, falsehoods, and things that should not have been done. This is what a grand jury, by analogy, Jay, does. This is not a grand jury. The Senate cannot indict, it cannot prosecute, but what it can do is put together for legislative purposes and oversight reasons and rationale what happened. And the way you do that is call in these witnesses and grill them as the Republicans are doing. The Democrats are really not participating because they don't want to be a part of this, really, but grill them and get the full picture of the puzzle and put it together. It's a long process, it's a laborious process, but the end results are really getting to the truth.
All right, let me play this for you. We talked about it with Senator Hawley and Rod Rosenstein again, specifically on, did you review anything? Did you know anything that you were signing off on? Because you just testified to us that you didn't actually. Take a listen, by 43.
You also testified today that you didn't read it. So I'm curious.
No, I didn't say
that. How is it? Would you like us to have your testimony read back to you? You said, I can't say that I read it. I don't think I read every page. I mean,
yes, I did say that. Yes.
But okay, so you didn't rubber stamp it, but you didn't read it.
You know, Senator, I have to explain the process.
I think we're familiar with the process. No, the OIG gave us the process. By the time it got to you, you had 17 critical errors, falsehoods, omissions, leading a federal court to say, they have never seen anything like this, and they can't trust anything else the FBI says, and you signed off on it.
You know, to me, I'm reminded of the theories put forward by people like Andrew Weissman and others who were on Bob Mueller's team, now fundraisers for Joe Biden, as Mike Lee pointed out in the hearing today. And Joe Biden had to, I guess, call that, that started looking bad. But by the way, he's still fundraising for him. They still got their fundraising money. I don't think they could have the event anyways. But on top of that, they had legal theories. I remember during the Enron case, it didn't matter if you were the CEO and you might not have known everything. You're still responsible. That's been a theory put forward by those extremely aggressive prosecutors who had many of their convictions overturned by courts of appeals. But again, this idea, Rod Rhodes.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
one 800 684 3110. If you have a question or comment, get that in now so you can get in before we finish the final segment of today's broadcast. That's 1-800-684-3110. Joanne is calling in from Maine on line 4. Joanne, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. In local government situations, when people make false 911 calls, when they're found guilty, they often have to repay the local governments for the money spent to respond to those false reports to the officials. When whoever are found guilty and responsible for all this that's going on with the Mueller report and all that, can they also be liable to repay our federal government for the cost of the years spent on the false investigations that took place?
Well, I think,
Go ahead.
Go ahead. But I mean, U.S. attorneys looking at potential criminal wrongdoing. We know that.
Yeah,
because you don't appoint U.S. attorneys unless there's potential criminal acts. We don't know. You can kind of imagine who they're looking at. It's not hard to figure out the top players. But Than, you pointed out there's a whole group now we know, especially from what we've learned from information that's been disclosed, documents have been disclosed. There's a whole group of secondary actors now that are not the most high profile names, but are probably the key witnesses to this.
Yeah, two things, Jordan. First of all, taxpayers are currently paying for Judge Sullivan's defense, so there's that. But you're absolutely correct. This has been one of the points that I think people need to pay the most attention to, because, yes, these other 52 subpoenas, Jordan, they're going to include the likely actors of James Comey and Andrew McCabe and Peter Strzok, and that testimony is going to be very important, but we're going to largely know it. Jordan, what about the other people that actually had to execute this? What about the Mary McCords of the world who worked on this and then went to work for Adam Schiff? What about FBI agents? Joseph Pienka, who went over to interview General Flynn when James Comey just flippantly sent them over. He went over with Peter Strzok, wrote the initial 302, and then Peter Strzok and Lisa Page edited that. What about when he comes forward to testify? What is he going to say? Jordan, I suspect, much like Rod Rosenstein, he will probably try to blame it on other people. But interestingly enough, that will be pretty credible information because he was in the room when it happened. I think we've got a long way to go on this, Jordan.
1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Listen to Chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Byte 32.
This committee looked at everything you wanted us to look at in terms of Russian behavior. Did Russia interfere? You better believe they did. Will they do it again? Yes, they will. Was this the Ukrainians? No, it was the Russians who stole the emails. It was the Russians who have divided the American people in terms of the 2016 campaign. But it wasn't the Russians, my friend, who withheld information from the FISA court, keeping Carter Page's life turned upside down. It wasn't the Russians who refused to tell the court that the underlying dossier that was crucial to the Carter Page warrant was a bunch of garbage. It wasn't the Russians who manipulated an email to keep getting a warrant against American citizens. It wasn't the Russians who withheld information from the court about General Flynn that they were setting him up and out to get him. It was the Department of Justice. It was the FBI. It was people who hated Trump.
So, I mean, again, Dad, I think there was this idea, first of all, another question for Rod Rosenstein. I don't know if he would share the info because, again, he'll try to dance around everything. But we talked about Russia. Are there other countries involved trying to influence our elections? Are any others that the DOJ is? It'd be interesting to know because I would imagine that there are. I mean, there's other big actors. China would be another one. China. What about the virus? Would unleashing a virus potentially be trying to influence an election, possibly against a president who put tariffs on your country? I don't know. Interesting.
Let me say this with regard to what I thought Lindsey did a great job of summing it up. And that was he laid out that despite all of the investigations, the real criminals in this, the real violators of the law, were people within the Department of Justice and the FBI that were conducting this investigation. The real lawbreakers here were in fact the FBI, Andy, and the Department of Justice, and committing a fraud then on the FISA court.
That's the sad truth, Jay. You expect foreign powers to try to interfere in our elections and to subvert the American election process. And as Jordan alluded to, it's not just Russia. It could be China. It could be Turkey. It could be any number of actors. But you don't expect internal members of the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, American citizens sworn to uphold the law, to take the actions that these people did take in trying to subvert and thwart the American election process and to get the result that they wanted. I expect it from the foreign powers. I don't expect it from our own people.
You know, Jordan, I want to make an announcement here, and I think it's today. We are going our one-hour broadcast, which airs in California on KKLA. You get 30 minutes at, 9 o'clock, and then another 30 minutes at 6 o'clock. Well, we've got some good news. We're going to keep the 9 o'clock 30 minutes, but at 6 o'clock, you will now on KKLA, and I think it starts today, get the entire hour of the broadcast on that big station out in Los Angeles. So we're thrilled to be able to announce that we're expanding the network even today.
All right, that's great, folks. And everybody listen out at KKLA. Again, that's you'll get that second half hour, the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live. Let's go to Vito's call in New York on line two. Vito, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call. My question is, when you sign off on the warrant, I'm not a lawyer, but I was a police officer in New York, and I did have to apply for search warrants, and I was the last one to sign on them, and I signed so under perjury of law. Isn't that the same thing with him, with Rosenstein?
I mean, it's this fine line between, like, he's telling people he didn't feel like they were untruthful to him. I mean, that's what but yet he's trying to say, but I didn't know that at the time, so what I was signing off on was not wrong. It's a very fine line when you're the acting attorney general of the United States.
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, and to Andy, to get it to the level where it's criminality is a very difficult standard, and as it should be, by the way. We want standards to be high when we're talking about criminal matters. But the wrongdoing here, I think, will go down in the books of legendary. When this is all done, months from now, when we have this completed, and we went through this whole process, we will say, look what happened in the United States of America, and how does it not happen again?
That's right. I think Senator Hawley said it best. He said to Rosenstein, there's two alternatives. Either you're criminally responsible or you were grossly negligent. And, of course, he wouldn't answer the question that the senator posed to him. I wouldn't say that he was a criminal. I'm not going to say that Rosenstein was a criminal for what he did. But talk about gross negligence and failure to do what your office demanded of you to do. Yes, you were. That you're liable for and that you're guilty of.
All right, folks. That will do it for today's broadcast. Let me encourage you as well. This hearing is ongoing throughout the day, so we'll have more on this tomorrow. 1-800-ACLJ.org. Stay updated on all the issues we're working on. That's ACLJ. ACLJ.org. Again, ACLJ.org. So the hearing's ongoing. We'll make sure to give you a good idea of it tomorrow, too, what else has happened in Rod Rosenstein's hearing as well. And we'll update you on other issues that we're working on at the ACLJ, other matters both, again, happening in our country as well. We're not ignoring that. You know that from our broadcast. You've been listening the last couple of weeks. You know that we're not ignoring these issues that are facing our country. But we did want to update you today on the Senate Judiciary Committee's hearing involving the former top justice official in the Russia matter.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.